Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Farmers Funderland, Muckers Mecca, Colchis Camino. Welcome to the Ploughing 2025. Good morning, Dermot Whelan here. I'm sitting in for Oliver today. It's Tuesday, 16th of September, and I'm with you till 10, and we are live from the Ploughing, and the sun is shining over Screggan, which is a sentence I've never said before. Let us know what you're thinking of today in the usual way. You can text 51551. You can WhatsApp the show on 087-032-3232, or send us longer thoughts by email to oliver@rte.ie. Yeah, so we have a great show for you this morning. We are live from the National Ploughing Championships here in Screggan, Tullamore, County Offaly. And in just a few minutes' time, comedy legend Pat Short will be here live on stage. We're going to have the latest evictee from the Traitor's Castle as well here in person. Later on, I'm going to be talking to TikTok sensations Shanice Griffin and Katie Larkin. Rugby powerhouse Alan Quinny Quinlan will be here, along with hurling hero Davy Fitzgerald, also joining us at the RTE stage here in the big blue and red tent. You can't miss us. People are just starting to flow into us here now. And we'll also have foot stomping live music from the rafters. But yes, we are here at the Ploughing, where we come to find our roots but lose our children, where the whispers of our pastoral past are drowned out by burger van generators, and where you remember what makes us truly Irish but forget where you parked your car. It's a red Peugeot. Has anyone seen a red Peugeot? You know, it's easy to get blinded by the dignitaries in these parts. Nuala Carey on a flatbed truck, Kevin Dundon in Gore-Tex trousers, and presidential hopefuls pretending they're having a good time. And in fairness to those mad jokes running for the presidential gig, if you're willing to prostrate yourself in front of 100 councillors, argue passionately about how you voted in Lisbon too, even though you can't remember, and wander around the world's biggest field in Offaly, shaking hands and pretending to know about tillage, then, do you know what? You're welcome to the job. It looks like a royal pain in the arse. You know, we arrived by helicopter here this morning at 6 a.m. And by that, I mean we skidded into the car park on a minibus 20 minutes ago. The traffic was, to give it its technical name, catmalogian. But you know what? As we passed all the staff on the roads approaching the site, it made me think we should give special mention not to the dignitaries, not to the Masseys, the Supermax or the IFA, but to the unsung heroes of events like this. Lads and lassies in high viz, 15 miles away from the main gate, blocking a road or one of those driveways with grass down the middle. Guards with repetitive strain injury in their vocal cords from saying, "Go on ahead," 80 times a minute. Car park attendants regretting their life choices, and loud hailer heroes hoarse from shouting, "Boys, boys, get down off that fence." If there's anyone who deserves a novelty-sized hurley, a voucher for net nitrate, or a pen adorned with the name of a fertilizer company, it's these people. The cleaner-uppers, the setter-downers, the runner-inners and clearer-outers. The I'll-drop-you-overs and the it's-just-down-therers. These and the thousands of people who got up before the central heating kicked in this morning and made the long trip here from County God Knows Where with a fried egg tucked into their pocket and hope in their hearts. Listening to this, I hope farming FOMO is kicking in for you, because it should be. Romantic Ireland isn't dead and gone. It's very much alive. And it's 10 minutes from Tullamore on a good day. As rappers used to say on MTV Cribs long ago when they showed you around the bedroom, this is where the magic happens. And you know what? A man who has brought nothing but magic over the last four decades is my next guest here at Ploughing 2025. From comedian to serious actor, writer, producer and musician, he'll soon be embarking on his new comedy tour, Short Stuff, with his daughter Faye, travelling all over the country. Pat Short, welcome to Ploughing. There he is.
Thank you very much, Herbert. That's lovely introduction.
Thank God you actually came in and sat down, because I was looking over the other side of the tent for you.
I thought you were ignoring me there for a minute.
Where's Pat?
Giving me the big back.
Yeah. Are you a stranger to ploughing? Is this something you would have come up to with your pals?
No.
No?
I never went here at all. I wouldn't have. See, I was a townie. I was from the town, Turles. And we used to love the ploughing because every time the ploughing would be on, the classroom would be empty. All the farmers would feck off.
Well, you know what? No matter, you know, having grown up in the country myself, there was always someone who was more culty than you.
Yeah.
Like, if we went into Limerick City, we were culties. But we knew people who were more culty.
You'd know the lads in the class that were bucket fed since you were a child.
Well, we shared...
Shake a bucket and they come running over to you.
We got a good feel of the place, didn't we, on the way in? Because we shared a minibus together. We
not the helicopter, yes. A sweaty bus, the whole gang of us, with half the newsroom behind us.
We sat side by side.
They're not a glamorous crowd, I can tell you that.
No, just people in anoraks, all heading the same direction. And I think our most exciting thing that happened to us this morning was that we were awoken from our sort of, you know, morning half slumber on the minibus by sirens from Garda Outriders.
That's right. Yeah,
who were bringing?
Michael Healy Ray. You have to get the top culgy up there quick.
Yeah, I know. Such a man of the people.
Get him into the front.
As he pushes everybody off the road with his Garda Outriders.
Have a fair play to him. He's entitled to it as
well. You know what I mean? But look, you're heading around the country soon with your daughter.
Yeah, we're starting a tour in a few weeks' time. Starting down in Kilmallock, down there. I think it's sold out already. We're heading on into venues all around the country in theatres. So it's exciting. I'll be leaving here this evening and heading back to rehearsals this evening now. So I'm kind of, it's that squeaky bum time of putting the show together.
Oh, I know it. Are you all going to go and see Pat Short live?
You can do louder than that, lads, for the love of God.
Fair play to the six of them.
Get a few coffees into that audience. You'd never make winning streak with an attitude like that. But look, you know, obviously every time you sit down to put on one of these shows, you've got to come up with characters. And as I was sitting beside you on the minibus this morning, I could hear your brain. I could hear those cogs turning because I know that you find these characters in real life. And we were listening to the interchange between the walkie-talkie
and the driver.
And the driver of the minibus. And did I leave my phone on the bus? Is that where you find your characters in real life?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's observational, isn't it? I mean, you just watch and look around you. And that's why a place like this is great, because there's so many people from so many different backgrounds. I think the ploughing is bigger now than it ever was. When we were young fellas, it was a big event in the annual calendar of events, like whether it be the Listowel races or whatever, you know what I mean? This was up there as one of the big ones, but not to the level it's at the moment. And there's some great characters there. And, you know, things like... I used to have to do a lot of training for writing a show, which basically meant going to a pub and listening to fellas talking. And that day is gone now a lot, you know.
Yeah.
You just don't get the characters going out like that. So to go to an event like this where you'll meet all types is fantastic. Mm.
Did you ever go to the Limerick show?
Oh, I did, yeah. I used to go to the Limerick show and it was a few in Tipperary as well, out in the Holy Cross I used to go to when I was younger. When I came to Limerick, I used to go to the Limerick show, and that's a great event. That was a huge one. The Cork one is a big one as well, down there in Cork City on the outskirts every year. I went to that one, yeah.
Yeah. So you'd be a dignitary now wandering around.
No.
You're a selfie.
Oh, I'm a mucker like
things.
The rest of them, that's all.
Come here, you've obviously taken the show outside of Ireland with Faye. What's it like doing these very, very Irish characters, say, you know,
it's very strange.
The clubs and theatres of New Zealand?
Well, we did Australia, New Zealand. That was interesting because we did all the international comedy festivals from Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, and then on to Auckland. Mm. And it was great. It was great doing it. It wasn't too... Like, that was a kind of an audience they'd be very familiar with, the Irish and everything. But I did, a few weeks later, I did a gig in Tokyo. And that was a strange one. And I didn't know what to do. I was kind of...
Who was in the audience?
Well, there was lots of... That was the thing. I opened up the show by saying, is there anyone here from Ireland? And there was a bunch said, yay! And I said, is there anyone here from Japan? And a huge crowd went, yay! And I said, you think I wouldn't notice you? I said, we're the ones with the bad skin. You look so lovely. But You know, and that was a the funny thing about the Japanese, they're big into their comedy.
Mm.
I didn't realise that. I was doing a TV show there, and the producers had down on the show that I was going to do a comedy club and never told me. So I ended up going down into Tokyo, playing in one of the small comedy clubs there. And there was two Japanese comedians on before me, and then I was on after them. And it was great fun. It was absolute riot, you know. They loved their comedy. You find in, I remember doing a show years ago with John Kenny in Moscow, and it was there was a huge crowd. It was like maybe 1,000 people at the gig, and we were all excited until we found out afterwards they were giving out free Irish stew. So they were all there for the grub. But the funny thing
is, it was a food kitchen.
But what you get in international shows like that is people learning English. And they go along to better their English to see a show. But sure, then we come out and we go, Dickie Doo, what did Dickie Doo? I don't know what to do. They can't make out a word we're saying. And there was one fellow shouting at us from the audience, just shouting up, go slow, go slow. I shouted back, catch up, catch up.
Were you on the motorbike when you were in Tokyo?
No, not this time. No, I didn't. Yeah,
because I know you've a big Harley.
I do. I like motorbikes. Yeah, I've travelled around a good bit. I was in Istanbul last year on the bike. That was nuts.
Mm.
And I've been out to Helsinki and drive. I drive from Limerick to Helsinki, which was a good trip. 3 weeks.
Was it?
Well, it's a lovely thing to do driving bikes, especially on a trip like that, because it's hard driving with a bunch of friends, but you get in tune with the bike and the journey, and it is kind of like the last of the Wild West kind of stuff, you know. It's just going through, like that trip, we went through 10 different countries. Next year we're doing Italy, which means we'll go down through Germany, Hungary, Romania, Albania, Serbia, Croatia, all down that side, and then back up through Italy on the other side.
I guess it's kind of nice because you're with the gang, but you're solo on the bike at the same time.
I did it. This is a true story. I did a TV show in Croatia, and part of the show was they wanted us to drive a motorbike. So I had to drive the bike. But our fixer for the TV show was a biker, and he said, we'll get you to drive down the coast to this bar, and I'll bring you into the biker club bar. So I thought, great. So I drove the bike down. He was on a bike. And we got to the bar, and we went into the bar. This is no lie. Do you know what the name of the club was? The Unbelievables.
Are you serious?
And they're the biggest, they're the longest running biker club in Croatia. Yeah. And that is, so I said,
That's weird.
It was weird. I said, and the producers didn't notice. Nobody knew. I said, Jermaine, you're going to have to make me a member of the club because I'm one of the original Dumb Believers. And he says, no, you have to prospect for 2 years, and then you have to, I said, I'll go away, forget about it.
You'd be like, I've been training as Dumb Believers for 40 years.
I've been at it for 35 years.
Well, obviously it is. It's 4 decades you've been entertaining.
Next year, yeah. 40 years since I started this. It was 3.5.
Yeah, I'm one of those years without your partner in crime, John Kenny.
Yes.
John Kenny, sadly. What's nice now, though, I guess, is you're still part of a duo, but it's with your daughter, Faye.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because I started out working with John and we were double act, and then we split in 2000, and I found it very hard to be on my own as a solo artist. But then you get used to it and you get into it. And I was 20 years on my own, and then Faye came out of college and COVID hit. Mm. And it organically happened that we got started. She never intended to work with me. She intended to go to London and work there.
Mm.
So we started working together during lockdown, and then we put a live show together. We're now in our third show 5 years on, and it's flying it.
Was Faye nervous about working with you? Because yourself and John would have had you know, that sort of unspoken language where you know you can read each other's body language, you know, with a glance, you know, what each other means. So she was stepping into those shoes as your other half. How does she feel about that?
Well, she was my daughter.
She knew a thing.
She
or
threw
two
a few
about
dagger looks across the breakfast table at me. You know what I mean? So that timing and everything would have been there between the two of us. But the amazing thing with Faye and with people of her generation, there's no fear. And she was trained as an actress as well. She went through college and did it all.
Of course.
And all that side of it. So I was blown away by the fact that she's fearless and really embraced the whole thing. But I'm sure she was nervous. Yeah. But she's great, you know.
Yeah, and I guess she, you know, you've a whole other dimension of characters now that you can tap into.
Yes, yeah. And did we do play it off the dad-daughter relationship as well, which is, I suppose, unique in some respects. There's not too many people doing it. And it gives us a good opportunity to have a good laugh at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. How important is music to you? Because that's where you started. Almost like... Like Billy Connolly back in the day when, you know, it was the bits in between the tunes that eventually made him a stand-up, and not dissimilar to you when you turned up as a musician
And John Kenny, largely that was the way he started as well. And when I joined John, he'd morph from music, like the Billy Connolly way. But for me, it was great. I loved doing that TV show, Songs of Ireland, with Mike Hanrahan.
Yeah.
And that... out of that, we did a tour, the two of us, which allowed me for the first time to go on tour as a musician and not a comedian. And that was fantastic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you bring the sax with you by any chance?
Not the sax. I brought something else. You might get a tune out of me later.
Oh, I might hold you to that. Well, speaking of tunes, a jumbo breakfast roll was the greatest accidental number one in Irish history, I think. Take us back to that time. Where did that song come from?
Well, it was a song I did as part of a show at the time. And the guys working with me didn't want me to do it on the Late Late Show because they said, it's a great song, you're giving away the best part of the show, blah, blah, blah.
And I bet you, did it take you long to write it? Because sometimes the greatest gems
fall
out.
Honest to God, I got stuck on one piece. But apart from that, everything else was just flowed like that.
Yeah. And so you wrote it for the Late Late originally?
I wrote it for a show I was doing, and I did it on the Late Late to promote the show. And it went viral back in the day, you know what I mean? Like before the internet and all that kind of carry on. I think Ruth Scott was the DJ that kind of championed it.
That's
right. Kept playing it. And after that, we had to go to Germany to record it, bring it out. We recorded it in Ireland, but we had to press it to get it out fast for Christmas. And it kept Shakira off the number one spot.
Hey!
The hips don't lie when you're eating a breakfast roll.
But you know, one thing I noticed when I was touring the country like yourself, staying in all kinds of places, weird and wonderful places around the country, what you notice when you stay in Irish hotels, the first thing is the car park.
Yes.
Because it's full of tradesmen's vans. And you realise that most of the people staying in hotels are sometimes it's entertainers and builders and tradesmen and chippies and sparks and
lads doing turn the roads painting them
you know the jumbo breakfast roll. I mean you tapped into something that is still very much relevant, and in fact more relevant than ever, because the lads keeping the country going.
Well, when I wrote it, the idea came about because I was going to my local shop to get the newspaper to go to work and get a bit of milk, and there was fellas, it was their coffee break when they were building the motorway in Limerick, and there was like 100 high vis in front of me going two sausages, two eggs, and it reminded me of that sketch with the Unbelievers of the sweet shop.
Yeah.
You know, like going one of them and two of them and two of them and one of them. It was so it sparked an idea with me. That's how the song came about.
Yeah, I think it's like a fingerprint, isn't it? It's very particular to us what we want to put into that breakfast roll. Are you a hash brown man? Are you brown sauce? Or what?
Yeah.
You know.
Butter, no butter.
Yeah. Actually, here's a thought. Our wonderful audience here, would you like to hear Pat Short perform that legendary tune, Jumbo Breakfast Roll? Okay, well, that is a bit of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Give that six out. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, would you mind sticking around, Pat?
I'll do that.
And in a little while, he'll perform that. We'll let you get settled. We won't throw it on you right this second. Big round of applause for Mr. Pat Short. And now, speaking of live music, why don't we have some? Would you like some music? Yes, of course you would. Well, look, we're sitting here beside me. We've got the Rafters. We've got Peter, we've got Connor, and we've got Thomas from Kilbeggan in Westmeath. How are you, lads?
How are you?
Lovely to have you. And what's the name of the tune you're going to perform for us?
We're going to do a couple of reels just to liven up to get the thing going.
Okay, take it away. It is RTE Radio 1, Oliver Callan Show, live from Plowin 2025. Take it away, the Rafters. We'll be right back. playing out of Kilmeggan, County Westmeath. It is the Rafters, and of course Tom Rafter won the ploughing here in 1951. Coming up after the break, farming goes TikTok, and we've got the latest traitor to be kicked out of the castle. Don't go anywhere.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.